This episode is brought to you by our friends at Squarespace.com, helping you make a fantastic website in 2015 that everyone can admire. With wonderful templates, easy-to-use tools, e-commerce, a free domain, and more. Go to Squarespace.com right now, try the free trial, and if you decide to stay, for 10% off your order, use the offer code MORNINGSTREAM. Coming up on TMS, what kind of Disney princess is Brian?
Did you see the Ant-Man?
Where is the poop gangsta?
Don't go to Disneyland this week.
Angry Justin Bieber fans are angry.
Netflix says more please to Marco Polo.
I gotta talk about that. Therapy Thursday and more on this fine episode of The Morning Stream.
After breakfast this morning, the kitchen looked like this. Then do you know what happened while Tommy was in school? Yes, the table was cleared, the dishes were washed and put away, and the whole kitchen was cleaned up. The same thing happens with the dirty clothes. They get washed and ironed and put away just like magic. And the groceries that come from the stores. Well, see that chicken? Here's the way it looks when Tommy sits down to supper.
My scrot.
Now, it's here. A new force at breakfast. This is The Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Morning Stream. It is TMS, The Morning Stream, for, oh, I don't know. Let's see, 8th of January, 2015. You know that CES is over now, and they're done.
It is. There's nothing left but the crying.
Do you think it ended up snowing? There was a lot of talk about it snowing hard in Vegas.
Vegas again.
I never heard. Yeah.
No, I didn't hear about it. I saw a live video this morning from a guy talking about here's the best of CES, right? Is like a guy, and they had him stationed outside of the Las Vegas Convention Center so you could see the sign of the Las Vegas Convention Center, which means, based on my knowledge of that area, that he was basically standing in the parking lot with a cardboard backboard that said "Best of CES."
I'm sorry, sir, you can't do this in the lobby, but it's cold out there. We ended up there
I really want the Las Vegas sign.
Yeah, well, this coming Friday, I guess tomorrow, myself, Tom Merritt, and Roger Chang will break down the best and worst of CES and talk about CES history and what it all means for the future, and whether or not it's still a valid thing to go to, or whether or not we as consumers we're the C in the CES, whether we are represented there or not.
Mm-hmm.
There's some question
going to be on Current Geek.
Yeah, and there's some question among some as to whether it's still relevant.
CES?
Yeah, that it matters.
It is funny, right? Because I mean, in this day and age where we're getting information just instantly, right, through Twitter and Facebook and blogs and RSS feeds and all that we need to have one event where people where companies will save up their big news to put it out there all at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Feels like a transition away from that maybe in the future and more toward, well, just acknowledging that, hey, we're already getting all of this. Like, why don't you do this instead? Why don't you have a day? Hell, do it virtually. Everybody save your big announcements and your videos and your whatever for one day a year and have it be a big CES and just have the blogs flooded with this cool information. Because what's the difference?
Well, the problem is hands-on, is being able to be actually at the show and say, oh, wow, this device is as small as a pack of cigarettes, and it will display 1920 by 3000 DPI resolution, whatever.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Like, I mean, it's, you know, they still have to have that hands-on. So I guess they still have to have that event. Mm-hmm. But
I guess so. Yeah.
Let's say you're a big, you're Sanyo. You're Samsung. You're, ooh, you know, you're.
I want to be Sanyo. I like that. Okay.
You're LG. Okay.
All right.
And it's August, and you've just figured out this really cool way to shrink down something that used to be a lot larger PCB. I better preface this with a printed circuit board.
Thank
or,
you.
Or
yeah.
whatever, battery.
By the way, can I be Gold Star? Is that fine? That's
okay. Yeah, be Gold Star.
All right, I want to be Gold Star.
Be realistic.
All right,
okay.
I'm realistic. I'm the in-house brand at Radio Shack. Okay,
that's right. All right. And you've just figured out how this device that you're in this flooded market with competitors, but you've just figured out how to get this battery size a quarter of the size and still have the same power, the same longevity.
All right.
Do you wait for January to make the big announcement, or do you just say, let's announce this thing now and get it in people's hands as quickly as possible?
Well, also spend less money. So here's what I would do if I were Gold Star / Realistic, because we've merged now.
Uh-huh.
We're one company. One company to make the worst electronics. That's what we're going to do. I'd fly press in. I'd fly, a dozen big names of the various big tech blogs / newspapers and whoever.
Mm.
I would fly them in and give them hands-on and let them tell the world, because that's really all we're doing anyway. I have friends who went to CES who run tech websites who opted not to go to a single keynote. They're like, none of those lines are worth it. We're all going to hear about them the second they say anything. And most of the time that info is just a bunch of fluff anyway. So that is a waste of our time. We are much better suited to go to the weird South Hall stuff and look at the international things that no one's heard about yet or whatever than we are to sit in an Intel conference or listen to what Samsung has to say on stage or whatever. So
even our buddy Tom, right? Mm-hmm. Has a daily news show that's focused on tech. Oh, you should use that for a name, for a title.
Daily Tech. Wait, hold on. Let's sound it out.
Daily news show centered on
techday.com. It's probably not taken. No, you're totally right. He did the same deal.
He didn't have to be there. I mean, he's able to do everything he needs to do mm-hmm. from where he's at.
Yeah. And he got, at some point, it's a little bit overkill, like E3. Do you really need to go to the big three press conferences? Probably not. Someone will go, and they'll report it. And I guess we still need that so that everyone else knows what the hell's going on. But more and more often, people are like, why am I in a line with 9,000 people to sit in the very back and hardly hear a thing? Why am I doing that?
Yeah, right.
And when we could get a lot of this stuff more easily disseminated.
Risking Legionnaire's disease or who knows what you get at conferences these days.
Yeah. I already heard some tale of this year,
right.
Although a lot of that could be drinking. But anyway, we'll get to that Friday. So here's the deal. Somebody sent me a link and said, you should do this to Brian. And I'm always looking for fun things to do to Brian.
Okay. All right.
So now you haven't looked at this, which is important.
I have not. I see the link in there with a don't peek at these yet.
Yeah, you see the little instructions.
And I know it came from you because peek is spelled P-E-A-K.
Oops. Don't peek. Yeah, don't mountain at these yet, is what it says. What kind of Disney princess are you, Brian? That's the question I pose.
So I'm guessing this is going to be a series of questions, and mm-hmm. based on my answers to those questions, it will determine which Disney princess I am.
Yep, and we're gonna tear through these. I'm going to have you describe yourself in the following.
Is one of the questions, do you have a monkey?
No, it needs
okay.
to... No, but that'd be too easy then, wouldn't it?
It really would, yes.
So are you kind, adventurous, goofy, or rebellious?
I would, I think that it would be hard for me to go with anything but goofy.
All right. Goofy I like. Okay. Next question. We'll know this at the end. Okay. Choose your prince type. Charming and respectful. Not interested in dating. Closed off a bit of a bad boy. A closed off comma, I guess. A bit of a bad boy. Someone who will tick off my parents. So charming, respectful, not interested in dating, closed off, or someone who will tick off my parents.
I think I would have to go with charming and respectful.
All right, I think you would too. I would have picked that for you. Choose a type
of... to take off my parents. I love that. So that's like the... You're Princess Shailene Woodward or Princess...
exactly right.
Yeah.
How about this one? Choose a type of song to sing. Quote. Or option number one. I don't sing. I don't know why I said quote. Next. Upbeat number. Next. Power ballad. Or finally, lullaby.
Dude, power ballad all the way.
Baby, that's the one you want. Okay, tell me what you... see, tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I figured you'd like that. That was them, not me. Do you want love? Do you want more? Do you want for your dreams to come true? Do you want freedom? Do you want adventure? Or do you want nothing in particular?
Wow.
So it's love, more, dreams to come true, freedom, adventure, or nothing.
I like more. Do you want more?
Yeah.
More.
I think more. More is good.
That's a like, I'm never going to be satisfied. I don't like that answer. I'm going to go with adventure.
All right, adventure. Hold on here. We're going to undo that one and do that one instead.
Thorne says, I'm going to be Princess Journey because Perfect. Of my power ballad choice.
Here's your sidekick. You need to choose one.
Ah, okay.
A mouse, a chipmunk.
No.
A tiger, like Henry style.
Okay.
A raccoon, a lizard. A horse, a white horse, a black horse, or a bear.
Oh, jeez.
So again, it's mouse, chipmunk, freaking tiger, raccoon, lizard, white horse, black horse, or bear.
Well, my first thought was I'd want a mode of transportation, so a horse, but I could probably ride a tiger. Let's go with the tiger.
Let's go with the tiger, sure. If Warcraft has taught us anything.
if
you can ride a damn tiger.
Look, if the tiger is my sidekick, I could probably ride the tiger.
All right, here's your hairstyle question. Do you want A, pin-up curls, B, long and flowing, C, natural curl, or D, braided bun?
Oh, geez.
It's my favorite mall food court stop is the braided bun. Mmm, I like to go there.
I think, well, since my highly polished pate is not available, I'm going to go with long and flowing.
All right. Long and the exact opposite of where you're at now.
Exactly.
All right. Your worst enemy. I'm a member of my is a member of my family, is power hungry, is someone I thought I could trust, or isn't human.
Oh, wow. Those are good choices. Yeah. I like, let's see. I like taking down someone who's power hungry.
All right. I'm with you.
Take down power hungry.
I don't like the powerful.
Yeah.
Bastards. All right. Here's one. Choose one of Rapunzel's many hobbies. I don't know why this is calling her out.
Wow. I have to choose a hobby for somebody else.
I guess so. Here it is. Cook, sew and dress, read a book, take a climb.
Take a climb.
I'm going to take a climb, dear. I won't be back till dinner. darts, chess, paint the wall some more, or ventrilo guy. What?
I guess.
Ventriloquy? I guess that's what it is.
Oh, ventriloquy.
It looks like a G, but it's a Q. It's a weird font they're using. so to cook, sew and dress, read a book, take a climb, darts, chess, paint the wall, or ventriloquy.
Darts.
All right. I'm going to choose darts for you. That's what I would have gone with. I like darts. Do you believe in love at first sight? And your answers are sometimes, love takes time, no way, or yes.
I believe in lust at first sight. Is that an alternative?
No, not here. Okay.
Then we'll say love takes time.
Oh, that's lovely.
That could be the title of my power ballad, by the way.
Sure could be.
Yeah.
All right, we got your princess. Are you ready?
Ventriloguy. What's his power?
able to put a hand up a puppet's butt and make him speak. Here you go. You are the Renaissance princess. You're a Renaissance princess, darling. Oh. Adventurous, always longing for something more.
Probably.
Daring? What'd I write? Yeah. Oh,
you
darling.
Darling.
Yeah. Darling? Daring, adventurous, always longing for something more. You've got backbone and aren't afraid to stand up to those who wrong you. You're fab. You're the closest. The closest comparison is Aladdin's lady. What's her name? Princess
Jasmine.
Yeah.
There you go.
So you're the Jasmine. Congratulations,
Princess Jasmine.
I would have probably been close to that too. I don't think I would have chosen any of these differently. I think I may have said chess. Like if I'd have said, it won't let me choose now. But if I'd have said chess, it may have changed things. But I don't know. Whatever. There you go. That's the kind of thing you are. Thank you. His name is Thomas for sending that in and letting us know about it. Hey, did you see that Ant-Man trailer yesterday?
I did. Yeah, I actually saw it a couple days ago as part of the Agent Carter television show.
Oh, I thought that was yesterday. That wasn't 2 days ago?
Was it Tuesday.
Oh, I'm dumb. I thought that hadn't aired yet. Or I knew it was going to air, but I thought it was last night. But anyway, the Ant-Man trailer, it's got your Paul Rudd and your old man Hank Pym there.
And that's where I wouldn't say I have a problem with it, but... look, I'm a old school Marvel fan.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
And I'm aware of Scott Lang. I know that for a while he was wearing the costume. I know there's a guy right now that's irredeemable that's wearing the costume that's neither Hank or Scott.
Mm-hmm.
But Hank Pym, for whatever reason, Hank Pym I always just picture as this, almost Captain America in physique, dude, really smart scientist dude, mm-hmm. that's about the same age as Stark and Thor and all those guys.
Sure.
So,
but this is probably what being set. My guess is it's set in the future. It's past his prime. He's no longer wearing the suit. He needs someone else to don it now. I think that's what they're doing. Like this is
set
this
in the future of Ant-Man. I mean, this is going to be. I imagine that you know Avengers 3 is going to feature Scott Lang as part of the team, or sure. at least you know on a side.
Sure.
So I think it's current time.
Yeah, no, it's current timeline. I'm not saying that. Right. I'm saying Hank Pym was doing this right. in the 60s.
Right, right, right.
This
exactly.
was his suit, and the fact that thing even looks retro, that suit.
It totally does.
So I think he was Ant-Man in the 60s, and now he's old and retired, and he's basically Batman Beyond. He's like Bruce Wayne is having some young buck don the Batman suit. It's the same idea. Right. And right. he's going to be like the guy back at Central Headquarters telling him how to make this work, and he's going to go out and be the new Ant-Man. That's what I think is going on here.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not that I have a problem with it not being Hank Pym in the suit. I think I just I don't know. My picture of Hank Pym is not as old as Michael Douglas.
Yeah. What if they show but, Hank Pym as a young guy, and what if it's like, what's his name? Like Tatum Chamading. What's his name? Chamding Gandy, Tatum.
You mean?
Chamalong Ding Dang is his name. Yeah. He's in that. You know.
No, I mean. You know what, Paul Rudd is going to make up for all of that because I love Paul Rudd. I think he's hilarious, and I think he's going to be the Chris Pratt of this film.
I hope so. Let's hope so. I don't know yet about that. I'm still a little bit on the fence with him. And maybe it's because long, hot, wet American summer, or the hell that was called, ruined me a little bit on everyone in it. So I hated that movie, and I know a lot of people think it's the greatest thing ever made. It's generational. I understand that, but... I didn't like Paul Rudd in that, and it kind of bugged me.
No way. Well, you like Elizabeth Banks, don't you?
Sure. She's fine.
She redeemed herself?
Yeah. I like Elizabeth Banks.
Well, she was in that Wet Hot American Summer.
Was she? Oh, yeah. She was. You're right. That movie sucked. all right. So that is that. We saw that. Oh, we got a call. And then before we call Daryl, we got to play this call. This came to us from a listener who has something to say about dogs, because we've been talking about dogs. You have dogs. I've had dogs. Here's what they say. Here you go.
Hey, Scott and Brian. Keith Fellers calling. Long time caller, first time listener. Anyway, I'm calling to ask one dog owner to another, what your thoughts are on this year's winter fashions for dogs? I find with Kenneth, he's my little miniature Bichon Frise. He gets so gosh darn golly cold in the winter that I went and got him a dog hugging.
Hold on, he said gosh darn golly? Is that
what
he said?
Did, yeah.
Oh, I may have to burn this MP3 when I'm done. Here we go. There's more.
Speaking of realistic, apparently they make phones too.
Yeah.
What? I'm sorry. I can't hear you, Brian.
All right.
Which is a blanket with sleeves. That way he can sit up with his paws free on the sofa while we watch a little Elf. Otherwise, he's so cold, you might as well call him a miniature Bichon freezing. Okay, thanks. Bye.
All right. Maybe the most annoying call we've ever gotten.
Might be, yes.
Good Lord.
All right, leave the jokes to us, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, that phone needs an upgrade.
Yeah.
I would just say that. All right. Daryl time. Daryl time.
So we're not even going to justify that with a
I don't even know what to say. Like, what is the question? I'm not even sure what the question
fashions.
Was.
What our thoughts are on the current dog fashions.
No, there are none.
We got a Thunder shirt for Daisy because she doesn't like loud noises. Doesn't like fireworks. Doesn't like...
A Thunder shirt?
Thunder shirt.
Describe that to me. What does that
this
do?
This is great. So this is a, almost looks like a Kevlar. It almost looks like a bulletproof vest, right? You put
Weird.
It on the dog and you attach it with Velcro and make it nice and tight. Not unpleasantly tight, but a nice firm, like hugging the shirt.
tight. Tico shirt. Okay.
That's right. And what it does is it basically simulates, you know, you holding the dog. When there's loud noises and stuff, and it calms them down a little bit.
Oh, like a little, okay. Yeah. It reminds me of that, weirdly, it reminds me of that movie that Claire Danes was in on HBO about Temple Grandin. She built a machine to do that. That simulated being sort of hugged and schmushed that would take her down.
Oh, right,
from her,
right, yes, right.
Freak out moments or whatever. Well, there you go. That's it. See, there you go, everybody. A tight dog thing. There you go. It's Stump a Trek Nerd brought to you by.
Brought to you by Tuco, the favorite drug dealer from Breaking Bad.
It says FERT on there. I just realized. Great.
Well, it doesn't even say that where I'm looking.
Yeah, you're right. It says nothing. I'm an idiot. Hey, Daryl, what's going on? How's it going?
It's good.
Good. How do you feel about a superhero that shrinks down and rides around on ants? How do you feel about that?
Oh, I think that's fine.
Yeah? You're okay with
why
that?
Why not? That's as realistic as all the rest.
I remember as a kid being completely fascinated by the idea of the Incredible Shrinking Woman with Lily Tomlin. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah, all the chemicals and...
Mm-hmm. I thought that was amazing. I just love the idea that everything was huge and she was small. And so part of me is super excited about this. But also, there's another part of me that always didn't like the Ant-Man comics because he's just a little dork. He's just a little tiny dork in those comics. Some of the old ones. I know Brian's a big fan.
But he has the full power of... Like, he has the power of a full-size man.
He does. I know. Okay, look. Here's what I'm going to give you right here. I'm going to give you a little taste of something. From the Ant-Man that I knew as a young boy. Where is it? Ant-Man. Here we go. Ant-Man. Footage. No. 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 It's not. You know what? Now that YouTube...
Don Kelly points out something that I never thought of in exact like 30 years of reading Ant-Man comics.
Yeah.
He has the strength of a normal sized guy.
Yeah.
So why isn't he crushing those ants when he's riding on top of them?
Yeah, what's going on? Yeah, exactly. I guess he doesn't weigh the same as a normal sized guy. He just is as strong as one. I'm even okay with that. I wish I could find this though. There's a little The problem is YouTube's been flooded now with it's been flooded with trailer stuff. And I can't find the old 60s cartoon that I'm trying to track down.
Right.
And it's super dumb. Oh, well. Maybe one of these days. Hey, someone in the chat room, you guys will track this down. Go find me the little... Oh, is this it? This might be it. Nope, that's not it. All right, if somebody can find me some old 60s era Ant-Man action, I'm in your debt, okay? All right, Daryl, let's get to you. Let's get back to you.
Yeah.
How's Breaking Bad going? You're still watching?
You know how you're making fun of Gold Star?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're still around.
Oh, I know. They're still a Korean. They're
LG. LG is Gold. Yeah, Lucky Gold Star.
Yeah, we heard about that, and it's a good thing they rebranded and got better because Gold Star was garbage back in the day.
And that's the way to do it. Is you just ditch that crappy name so people forget about it, and then you.
Well, Samsung was just as bad at a certain time, but they kept their name and still persevered somehow. But I feel like this is just the Korean company way. Like Hyundai did it, and they did it. It's like garbage, garbage, garbage. But then suddenly, these guys are all right.
Mm-hmm.
These cars are good. These TVs are okay. But I think Gold Star was so bad that they just like, we got to change the name, guys.
There's no redemption from that. Yeah.
Here's a YouTube. Let's see if this is it. All right. It's very quiet. Here we go. All right.
That doesn't look like 60s.
No. What is this?
Sounds like it, though.
What is going on? I feel like this is fan-made.
Oh, no, this is the superhero squad with the Super D.
Oh, right.
This is the Avengers for kids.
Yeah, no, forget it. That's not the one I want. I'm looking for, like, old, ancient...
How does MODOK fit in that little car?
How does MODOK fit in anything, really?
MODOK is, like, ginormous head dude.
Is this it? Hold on, I may have found it.
Okay.
Here we go. Is this it?
Tony Stark makes you feel he's coolest and with a heart of steel.
And Iron Man.
That's the Iron Man one.
That's the Iron Man show. That's the music, by the way, that you hear in the newer Iron Man movies, like when Tony Stark, like they're doing a montage of Tony Stark's wealth and stuff like that.
Mm.
You hear that.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's an homage to the old cartoon.
Well, there you go. That's all I can find there. If someone else finds it, let me know. All right, Daryl, let's get to your Star Trek question. Trivia time. Here it is. In the original Star Trek episode, The Deadly Years, Kirk, Spock, and McCoy tried to age rapidly. Start to age rapidly. They don't try to. They just do.
They succeed.
They succeed in aging rapidly. Kirk asks Uhura to send a message to Starfleet Command. What does Kirk tell Uhura to initially send? Or, sorry, initially used to send this message. Is it A, code 2, B, code 3, C, code 4, or D, code 5?
These are Daryl's favorite questions.
I know, he loves them. Codes 2 through 5 are your options. That's where you got to be on these. Now, whilst you think about it.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
We're going to eat more out of this box. Ugh.
I got to have it closer to me. I broke my back there. So I really, really like those beef popcorn things. Like, I ate that till it was gone.
Yeah, that's going to be my raid snack tonight.
Freaking loved it. But I'll take any of these. Anything you guys want to do except the liquids I forgot to freaking refrigerate.
How about the next most inflated bag, which are the Lay's, the ham-flavored Lay's potato chips.
Ooh, look at that. That's a lot of ham on a piece of bread or whatever that is. Yeah, I'll do that. These are Lay's.
Just to prove that it's from, like an English flavor, they put a picture of Stonehenge on the back.
Mm-hmm. And there's a little, Union Jack flag on the front.
That's right.
But then it's all in Taiwanese everywhere else.
No, so these must be, their country-based flavors, because if you look at that little symbol in the top, they've got the Colosseum and, a Mayan pyramid, it looks like.
So do you think they have, they're under the impression that in Britain, everybody eats a lot of ham. Is that the deal?
Yes.
Okay. I think so. All right. Well, that's fine. Well,
these are made by PepsiCo.
Yes. Yeah. It's Lay's. It's the foreign version of Lay's.
Mm-hmm. Frito-Lay and Lay are registered trademarks of PepsiCo Incorporated, New York, New York.
Oh, I can't open it.
We're everywhere in all places at once.
Ooh.
Oh, that smell. Smells like a dirty old ham, doesn't it?
It does smell like a ham.
Mm-hmm. Like a dirty old ham that sat around too long.
It's a dirty old ham.
I'm not sure about this. All right, I removed a ham chip. Here's my ham chip. You still getting in there?
Oh, yeah. That's really hammy.
Yeah, very hammy. Wow, they aren't kidding.
All right, can we eat this damn thing yet?
Yeah, let's do it. Here we go.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't like that. I think I don't like it because it's the worst part of the ham flavor. kind of gamey dead animal flesh.
I don't know. I like this actually.
Ooh. Yeah, that's not for me.
I think I'm in the middle. It's kind of okay.
I'm finally. It's befouling me. I don't like it. And I don't like the aftertaste. Now I feel like I've licked really, that tastes like a corpse. What I imagine.
How would you know?
Well, I imagine if you walked into a room and you found Grandpa, 4 days dead or something, that this is what the room might smell like. Ugh.
That's right.
Ugh.
I haven't seen Cleo in chat in a while, but I'm going to go ahead and lick this chip for her.
Yeah,
anyway.
Lick that anyway. Do it in posthumously, even if she's not here.
Right. Oh, yeah, the aftertaste just hit me. That's not good.
Yeah, I told you.
That is like rotted feet or something.
It's like corpsey.
Hmm.
It's corpsey, is what it is. Corporeal. All right. Well, there's that. I will not be finishing those. But thank you for sending them. Wait, where did these come from? Oh, these are fantasy coin.
That's right.
All right. Well, there you go. Daryl, let's get back to the business at hand here. You got a birthday to share with us?
I do. It's Stephen Hawking. He's 73 today.
Oh, gosh. That's great. A guy wasn't supposed to live past 32 or something. That's
amazing.
Oh, yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
He proved that theory wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He was on the TNG episode Descent, season 6, 1993.
And he tries to teach Data how to be a stand-up comic, right?
No.
That wasn't Stephen Hawking.
No, that was the other famous physicist, Joe Piscopo. You may have heard of him.
Yeah. Dr. Piscopo.
This is the only actor to play himself.
Dr. Piscopo, do tell us your theory on dark matter. Well, got a good idea about that. That's more, what's his name, Rodney Dangerfield. Anyway, well, that's great. Happy birthday to him. He's on Futurama and Simpsons
Big
all the time.
And
that guy gets around. Does okay. I hear he's a real hit with the ladies. There's some rumors about that. Have you heard about those rumors?
Whole movie about how he's a hit with the ladies.
Oh, really? Like post his ordeal or before that?
Well, before that. Like the theory of everything, it's, it's him like taking his wife dancing and
because I've heard,
I haven't seen the movie, folks. I'm just basing this off the trailer.
Because isn't there some photos of him or something, just like with a bunch of strippers all around him? There's a bunch of stuff like that floating around there.
Really?
Yeah, like in lately, like in the last 10 years, kind of thing. Anyway,
I haven't heard or seen anything about that.
Something like that.
Now I'm on the lookout.
There's something like that. Hawking. Hold on.
Sounds like a Futurama scene.
Let's see.
Futurama.
Stephen Hawking's ex-wife. Oh. Stephen Hawking frequents sex club in California, according to this. This is it.
Wow.
I've found it. Kind of be a little hard to be conspicuous in there. Can find a wheelchair. Let's see, keep something. I've seen Stephen Hawking in the club more than a handful of times. He arrives with an entourage of nurses and assistants. Last time I saw him, he was in the back area, black play area, laying on a bed fully clothed with two naked women gyrating all over him. Wow. All right. Oh, he was divorced 3 times. I didn't know that.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Well, anyway. Hey, man. Look, if you're I think you're.
I just can't take that droning voice of yours any longer.
I'm going to the sex club. I'll see you after 10. All right, Daryl, let's get back to it. Happy birthday, Stephen Hawking. Guy's a genius. Let's talk about this question here about the code 4 or the 2 through 5. Which do you think, which of those do you think Kirk said to tell you her to use to send the message?
Oh, boy. I don't know. Uh-oh. Number questions.
Could be
what do these mean?
Could this, they don't mean anything. That's the funny thing. Well, it must mean something.
Code 2, we're getting old. Code 3, we're peeing in a bucket. I don't know.
You mean there aren't, like, specific codes? Like, you know, when you're in a hospital and you hear code blue, it means, you know, everybody report to whichever room is having the code blue or...
Yeah, you'd think that Star Trek would, if they have these codes, they would have definitions for them.
They'd have a book, right? Yeah. That the, you know, Roddenberry says, all right, let's keep this book. Let's keep this register of which codes we're using and what they mean.
One would assume, That's a fair assumption. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man.
Or maybe they just say whatever code they feel like and it's good enough.
Yeah. Got a 319 and 10 forward.
Yeah.
Over.
Yeah. I don't think Star Wars or Star Trek concerned itself that often with these things.
Dan and Troy eating chocolate and 10 forward. That's a 319.
That's a 319. Tackle him and kill him. So what do you think, ma'am?
Orgasm noises and over her chocolate sundae. Please report.
Gross. Hate that episode so much. So you may have to guess, but this, I just want to point out, this could be your first wrong answer in 2015.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no, we can't have that.
No.
Oh, shoot, I took Henry home. I can't flip him.
Oh.
Oh.
What'd you take him home for?
Have you a regular coin?
No, I, maybe.
Why don't you just tell me the movie you want to see?
It's funny how any use of that voice just evokes the movie phone Kramer clip.
Yep,
it's,
can't help it.
One of the best lines ever on Seinfeld.
It's burned in. I can't. It's it's impossible not to.
Okay, I have a regular quarter.
All right.
If it's heads, it'll be 2 or 3. If it's tails, it'll be 4 or 5.
Remind me who's on the quarter. Is it Jefferson? Is it Washington? Who is it?
George Washington.
Yeah. I have not paid attention to that in so many years. I forgot who was on it.
Yeah, and there's an eagle on the other side.
All right.
Oh, like that's a traditional quarter.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Old school.
Yeah, not with some fancy new dumb design on the back. I hate those.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, man, I forgot to tell you, before you tell me, Daryl, we're going to keep the tension a little longer here. While I was at the Pinball Hall of Fame, I got one of the quarters out of the change machine, and it was bent. The quarter was bent, and I thought, well, I probably shouldn't put this in, but I did anyway. And I think I gummed up and perhaps shut down the Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
Oh, well done.
I know. I didn't, and I threw the money away. I mean, basically, that was my quarter gone. But
yeah.
And they're all 50 cents now. Weren't they 25 cents last year?
At the Pinball Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Just about everything was, but some of the newer ones were 50 cents.
All of them are 50 cents now.
Oh, really?
Yep, and they have little signs on everything, which leads me to believe they just did this, that are all bright pink with like huge black letters saying... One play, 50 cents. They've jacked the price up.
They got to make their money somehow, I guess.
I guess.
It's still the only way you're going to get to play a lot of those games, so.
I think they should do an entry fee, like $3 at the door.
Oh, yeah. I would be up for that.
Yeah.
I'd pay, you know, I'd pay 20 to walk in there I'd pay 10 to walk in there. And
if they're all a quarter.
Let's not go crazy here.
If they were all a quarter, yes, 10. Like Nickelcades do this. You pay like $4 and you go in and you pay a nickel for every game you play.
Right.
Do something like that. But like 50 cents. Ugh. Some of these like old 50s ones with like Roller Derby Central. It's, you know, not even electronic ones. Those are all like 50 cents now. It's like, come on, man.
Oh, that's crazy. They weren't even 50 cents probably in their heyday.
Yeah.
Or, 25 cents in their heyday.
Right.
All right, how about this option? Pay $20, all the machines are set to free play.
All in. Totally would do that. Yep.
Yeah. And I bet you they'd make more money than they're making now.
I think so.
People would go in and never leave.
Well, yeah. You'd have to eventually. It's like all you can eat shrimp. You're not going to stay at Sizzler all night. You got to go home at some point. But it was really packed. That's the other thing. That whole week was crazy, but it was wall to wall people in that pinball place.
Wow. When Andreas and I went there a few years ago, it seemed like there were maybe two other people in there. We had the run of the place.
Same as every other time I've been. But for whatever reason, it like literally 10:30 in the morning, too. I'm telling you, it's the holidays in Vegas. Just don't go there.
Oh, yeah.
It's too crazy. Anyway, sorry, Daryl, you were about to launch into the thing here.
Yeah. It came up heads the first time. Here, I'll do it again. And so now it's either two or three.
Okay.
And it's heads again, which means it tells me to pick two. So why not?
Pick two? Code two, you mean? Or the second answer?
I didn't even think of that.
It can be, well. So it's either code two or B, I suppose.
But it's got to be the top one, whatever that is.
The top one is code two, because we start with two and we go to five. All right, well, let's find out if you're right or if you have broken your streak in 2015 and turned yourself into a loser. Let's find out. Here we go.
Congratulations.
All right, you got it.
You're a winner.
You totally got it. Tells her to send a code 2. However, Uhura tells them the Romulans have already broken the code 2. Kirk then tells her to use code 3 instead. So they've got these levels of security. Yeah, here's a clip.
Let's get this to Dr. McCoy immediately. Oh. Lieutenant, take a message to Starfleet Command.
Aye, sir.
And due to the proximity of the Romulans, better use code 2.
But, Captain, the Romulans have broken code 2. If you remember, the last bullet...
Then use code 3.
Yes, sir, code 3.
Message. Key to affliction may be Comet, which passed by Gamma Hydra 4.
He's kind of a surly jerk in that
one. He kind of is.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happens when you get old.
Oh, that's right, because he's hobbling around like an old guy.
Right. Code 2. Code 2, you young whippersnapper.
And it's code 3 is the next one. Good job, Daryl. Way to luckily get that one. Skirted it. You'll have until next week to... And again, remember the over-under on this... Well, the over-under.
It's Wednesday.
The prediction is Wednesday. We will see if you can last that long. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter and at thisweekintrek.com. You can also find him on the Grumpy Cast. Daryl, why don't you play a little game with us? I'm guessing this is Herb, real Herb or no Herb? Or Star Trek Herb?
Star Trek Herb or actual Herb.
All right, great. Do we have a theme? I don't know if we do.
Herbie the Love Bug.
Here it is.
This is outrageous!
Because that's how it's been the last few episodes. It's outrageously wrong.
Been outrageous.
All right, go ahead.
Moongrass.
Oh, jeez.
Moongrass. Sounds like what Wesley got in trouble for walking on.
Yeah, right? You've stepped in the moongrass, so us three adult men in diapers will now sentence you to death. He's done real ones two in a row now.
Yeah.
And this one just sounds as real or fake as ever.
Exactly.
So I don't
know. The last one wasn't real.
Huh?
Oh, what? That's right. It was the Mako route.
That's right. Yeah. I took a little heat on that on Twitter yesterday. For some reason, people thought I was real stupid to say that was a real thing. So I'm going to, I don't know what to think. That sounds real and fake.
It does.
I mean,
let's flip a coin.
All right. Flip a fantasy coin.
All right, here we go. Heads is the Alpha Geek radio microphone. Tails is just Alpha Geek.
All right.
And so I guess really real is microphone.
Okay.
Fake is Alpha Geek.
All right.
Came up microphones, so we're going to say it's real.
Okay, we say real.
This is a seasoning used to prepare certain dishes such as Polarian sea urchin in the DS9 episode.
Damn it! Not even going to let him finish that.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the post-loser news, and it's brought to you by...
Our coin is busted. Mm. The president of the Illuminati. Your kids are already members. Learn the signs in their favorite TV shows. It's the Illuminati President podcast. Listen now. IlluminatiPresident.com.
All right. Sounds good to me.
Sounds very intriguing.
some cops are on the lookout for the poop gangster.
Nice.
This story is not even...
What's his hand sign?
Oh, good question. How would you do that? Let's see. Can you make a little deuce with
your
hand?
I guess he's got a two. He's got to be doing a number two.
Yeah, here you go. I don't know if you can see this, but that's the poop gangster right there. The poop gangster is this guy. So he's a Cleveland man. Have we done that superhero before?
I don't know if we have.
All right. What's his power then?
Able to visit the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame whenever he chooses to look at the original lyrics printed on paper for John Lennon's Imagine. Excelsior.
Might occasionally run into Bill Watterson at a Walmart. All right. Cleveland man.
Only a stone's throw from the Nobby Annex.
Is he still calling it that?
I don't know if he is.
Oh. Should ask him. Cleveland man with an unusual social media handle is the prime suspect in a Christmas Eve shooting. Tyrese Bowens, who goes by the Twitter handle Poop Gangsta. Let's see if he's still on Twitter.
I love that.
Poop Gangsta. Let's see. Twitter.com/Poop Gangsta. He has not posted since. Oh.
Because he's in hiding.
You know, he's still posting. Here's his latest one, January 19th. Can't be right.
Yeah, that would be.
Oh, this is 2013. Yeah, that was last year. So he hasn't tweeted since January 19th in 2014.
Oh, geez, really?
Yeah, 2013, he posted a bunch. And he says things like, Twitter sucks ass. where the F you at? Free my N-words. You might have seen me in the street. But, and you don't know me. I feel like I'm lost in a new world here. I can't understand
there's,
any of this.
Yeah, I mean, there's...
Anyway, poop gangster. See, this is what they've done. They've got a story about a guy who shot somebody. And they somehow figured out the suspect's Twitter account, which he hasn't updated for a year, is poop gangster. For no other reason than to just say that it's poop gangster on Twitter.
I don't know what to make of this.
Well, he's 26. He's accused of attempted murder. He was shot a dude in his leg and the stomach who had to go undergo surgery. This is according to the Smoking Gun. Yes, that Smoking Gun site still exists, still does things. The Elucid Police Department. Oh, sorry. Yeah,
Euclid
Police Department. He's released a photo of the subject on his Facebook page and asked anyone information about his whereabouts. Some people are trying to track this dude down. If you can find Poop Gangster, let him know. Oh, he had an Instagram account called Poop Gangster as well, and that has been deleted. It is not clear why the suspect uses that moniker, but the police department listed it as an alias in their post.
Nice.
Poop Gangster.
As found on the Steaming Gun website. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Steaming Gun. Yes. Health alert after Disneyland linked to measles outbreak. Don't go to Disneyland. Oh. This is not the week to go.
No.
California Public Health Department is investigating 9 measles cases tied to Disneyland or Disney California Adventure Park. Aren't they kind of basically the same? I mean, come on. Officials said Wednesday. The cases were reported in California and Utah and probably occurred when the victims were visiting theme parks during the holidays, December 17th or 15th through the 20th, according to officials. Health officials say it is likely a single person with measles that visited the park during the period, exposing all the others. So,
wow.
This is a problem I actually have with people. there'll be a get-together. Like this Friday night, we're supposed to go play games at a neighbor's house, and there's a bunch of neighbors coming. We're all going to hang out and have fun, right?
Sure.
Invariably, what usually happens is someone has a kid. One of their kids is like, you know, throwing up or has flu, the worst flu ever or something like that. And they just bring them anyway. I have a problem with that. Yeah. Don't bring them if they're sick. It's not like you're going to offend anybody if you don't come. You just say, you know what? We're going to play it safe and stay home with Junior because he is so sick and we don't want to spread this around. I really appreciate when people do that.
Yeah, I do too.
So do that.
If you're sick, don't go to work. You know, it's great when you you've got that gung ho attitude. Hey, I got to get some stuff done today, but you know, don't go to the office.
Yeah,
you know, work from home or just take a day and rest and feel better.
That's why you get sick days. Don't go in there and don't spread it around more. You're not doing anyone any favors to show how brave you are by coming over and giving it to everybody else. I have extended family who does this constantly.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't come to the big family gathering, it's okay. No one's going to judge you for it. In fact, I'm going to judge you worse if you bring your sick kid.
Right.
I've had him showing up before and go, oh, rough night last night. Oh, what's the matter? Junior over here threw up 7 times on the bed. It was horrible. And I don't even know if it's all out of my hair yet, or, you know, like this kind of talk.
Might still have some of it on my hand. Yeah. Hey, is this chips and dip?
Yeah. Ooh, yummy. And I'm just thinking, really, dude? You're in that kind of stuff. I don't know why that bugs me so bad. But
no, it bugs me too. It was funny when I took Tristan to the doctor yesterday.
Yeah.
They had a little box outside of the doctor's office where you could actually reach in, put on a surgical mask. So I'm guessing if you have the flu, they were like saying, all right, well, put one of these on and that'll keep you from at least spreading it through your breath or breathing or whatever.
Well, the Asians have it right, don't they? They always wear those.
They do.
And yeah. I'm into that. I'm all up in that. So let's be more like the Asians. I don't want to be stereotypic here, but they don't seem to have a problem with it. And all through Vegas, there were people, tons of Asian tourists in the first place, but lots of them wearing those masks. I'm thinking, you know what, dude? That's right. You're sick. You don't want other people to be. So wear a thing. Or don't go.
Or just don't go.
All right, speaking of not going. Hey, if you want to make a website and you're thinking, look, here's the deal. I want to make a website that's a fan of face masks, and I'm gonna have photos of people in them. I'm gonna have
face mask book.
Yeah, face mask book. And on there, you can like a page. You can like these pages where I talk all about why it's cool in these blog posts, a series of blog posts, some serious reporting about why it's cool to have those face masks on. And I really want to help evangelize the movement. Well, then I can do that real easily by going to squarespace.com and doing it there. Why? Because I don't have to be a freaking programming genius to figure it out. The tools are amazing. They're all standards compliant, but they're so easy for you to use. Templates, tools, e-commerce stuff. You want to sell t-shirts that say, wear a mask. Well, you sell them there.
That's the place to do it.
It's built right in. 10% off your order by using the code MORNINGSTREAM at checkout. They have a free trial, so you don't have to take my word for it. Try it out first. If you like it, use the code MORNINGSTREAM at checkout at squarespace.com. Okay? Okay.
Okay.
I wish you would. Bye now.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop brought to you by...
Canadian pop stars under siege.
Oh, okay. That's even better. Did Coverville come out yesterday?
Oh, yeah, there was.
I meant to put that in there and I forgot.
Crosby, Stills, Nash, Young, R.E.M., and Portishead.
Wow, all together at last.
All together in one show. Yes, it was quite the Woodstock
event. Did it include any Neil Young on his own or just as he was with
them? Because it was Stephen Stills' birthday. However, there was a Stills Young song on there. Not a Crosby or Nash, just a Stills Young song.
I haven't heard it yet. I usually do the day after, but we got in there any covers of... Southern Cross, because I love that song.
No, not of that one, but Wasted on the Way and
Teach Your Children Well.
And yeah.
Teach Your Children Well.
I love Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
I do too. Yeah. I could listen to that stuff all day. In fact, I may later today. They're the best.
Yep.
Wasn't there a big falling out, though? And Young said, I'm out.
Yes. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I talked about that on the show, that halfway during the Stills and Young tour, Stephen Stills received a little note sent by Neil Young saying, yeah, I know I said I wanted to do this whole tour with you, and I know we're only halfway done, but hey, this thing started spontaneously, and it ended spontaneously. Eat a peach. Signed, Neil.
Eat a peach?
Eat a peach.
Oh, he's my new hero.
I don't know what that means. It's an Allman Brothers album, Eat a Peach, but I don't know what that if that really is just the euphemism or the phrase that it sounds like it is, you know?
Eat a peach. Did he say it like that?
Oh, won't you go and eat a peach?
I'm not on tour anymore. All right.
Hey, tour.
Hey, tour. You don't have to tour anymore.
You don't have to tour anymore.
All right. Celebrity Poop begins with angry Justin Bieber fans who have sent death threats to married model Lara Stone following racy Calvin Klein advert. Supermodel Lara Stone. It sounds like a by day supermodel, by night solving crimes. Lara Stone has received death threats from angry Justin Bieber fans following a racy shoot with the pop star. TMZ reports that some of Justin's fans reacted angrily after her Calvin Klein shoot emerged, featured her caressing a topless Bieber.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
A topless Bieber.
Yeah, there's the photo right there.
One use named, I think they meant user.
User,
named,
yeah.
Amelia Bieber. Oh, I am, let's see.
Amelia Belieber.
Amelia six. Belieber 6.
Which means that there's five other Amelia Beliebers.
Yeah, I don't like this at all. She says, anytime your Twitter account has Bieber's name in it, that's scary to me.
Yeah. It's,
anyway, she wrote, I'll kill that girl.
You've busted something.
I'll kill that girl. Followed with some emojis that depicted three guns and one knife pointing at two faces.
Jeez.
I'll kill that girl.
Get a grip, people.
Another user was said to have written, hey, B-word, I hate you. Touch Justin's boop again and I'm kill you. I'm not joking.
I'm a kill you.
Yeah, I'm a kill you. While another added, back off or I'll kill you. Please and thanks. No pressure, smiley face.
Nice.
Lara, who is happily married to British comic David Williams, did respond to any of the abusive messages. I think they meant didn't. Man, TMZ, could you write this worse? Instead, 31-year-old Dutch model simply retweeted to others who had praised the shoot. And she's 31. He's, what, 5? So it's fine. It's not like there's anything going on there. You know, that really is weird. When they freak out that much, when you're that big of a Justin Bieber fan that you're... toothless or not, still threatening somebody because they happen to be in a shoot, which is a business arrangement.
Yes, exactly.
Come on.
I had a chance with him before you got in the picture, model lady.
Yeah, I was going to end up with him. Netflix. Look at this. Netflix. They have renewed for a second season, at least, the historical epic. I'd put historical in quotes, but anyway. Marco Polo for a second season. So Kim and I are to the final episode. We'll do that tonight. Watched it together. It's only 10 episodes, all on Netflix. Netflix original, blah, blah, blah. It, by the way, cost $19 million per episode to produce.
Oh,
that
wow.
Thing. Yeah. I'm
special effects?
I think it's, well, some, but
just
I think
like
it's...
like hiding the background, hiding buildings and parking lots?
I think it's probably sets and costumes. I mean, that's probably most of it. The thing about it, though, is it's got great production value. There's no question about that. It looks really, really nice, like on par with Game of Thrones or whatever comparable production you want to put next to it. But, man, Marco Polo is a show that I don't think is about Marco Polo at all. And I think it's weird they named it after him because it's really not about him. Like, he's barely in the thing. Like, he's in it, but he's not really in it. I was saying on Twitter yesterday, it'd be like calling Star Wars Chewie or Uncle Owen or something.
Okay, gotcha. He's
just barely
he's
in
on
it.
There. He's just more of a supporting character.
Yeah, and it's not even a good example. Like, a better example would be, I don't know.
Calling Breaking Bad the Tuco show.
Yeah, that's like calling, or anything with the person's name in it. That's what I'm trying to think of, is one with a name in it. Like,
gotcha.
I can't think of anything. Like,
calling Seinfeld Newman.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, wait a minute, that guy's barely in this show. It'd be the same thing. It's super, I'm really torn on it because I think it's pretty good. I don't think it's amazing. I think it's pretty good. But he's barely in it.
Huh.
The real winner of that thing is the dude what plays the Kublai Khan guy. And he's all fat in this, but he was, you'd know him as the Asian guy from Sunshine. You remember that?
I never finished watching that because the Blu-ray was not compatible with the PlayStation.
That's right. You got to watch that. Sunshine's awesome.
Maybe it's compatible with the PlayStation 4 now that I've got that. We're going to try it again.
Danny Boyle thing.
Because I really wanted to see that.
It's really good. It's one of my favorite science fiction things. I don't even have a problem with the last part that everyone has a problem with, but I think it's fine. But he's in other stuff too, but you just never know it. He's in a lot of Hong Kong movies, but he's great in this. Just mesmerizing in this. And Marco Polo guy, give him or take him. He just kind of just shows up once in a while. It's weird. Anyway, they've renewed it. It's part of their international expansion. They did not say when it would premiere. It said the Tina Fey created comedy Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt will premiere on March 6th, while Marvel superhero series Daredevil, starring Charlie Cox and Rosario Dawson, will debut on the 10th of April. They got a lot coming up, man.
Wow.
First season of Marco Polo's sweeping adventure drama was poorly received by critics, but fans seem to like it. Whatever. It's not publicly known how big the audiences are for Netflix programming, as the company does not release that data. But I'll tell you, if they're spending $19 million per episode,
yeah, it's pulling in some viewers.
I
yeah.
think they know. It's a very different business model, and it totally, man, that pretty much works, man. If you don't have to release your numbers, but you know what sells, that's awesome.
Oh, I can't wait for that Daredevil thing, though.
Me too. Almost as much as I can't wait for my next delivery from HelloFresh.com. HelloFresh.com, making cooking fun again. If you haven't been there yet, go there now and save some money. Pick a delicious recipe from an amazing chef. They'll send you those ingredients. You'll make that food in 30 minutes or less, and you'll save money by using the code MORNINGSTREAM for 50% off your first order at HelloFresh.com. Brian, we're going to take a break. When we come back, it's Wendy with Therapy Thursday. But before that, okay. Brian's going to sing us a song.
I'm going to sing a tune
play
for
one,
you.
I suppose, yeah. So what do you got?
Well, okay, yeah, I'll play. All right. Evan wrote in, said, not sure if you're going to have a TMS PM show on New Year's Day, but here goes. No, we're not, and we didn't, but how about this one? Yeah. After 5+ years of working in law enforcement, my last shift will be Friday, January 2nd, which is the day I listen to TMS PM. I'll be entering the wild, crazy world of real estate, where I just started as a realtor for Coldwell Banker in Petaluma, California. I'm a little nervous, but only because my supervisor's last name is Mendoza.
Oh,
hopefully,
shite.
No relation to the goose.
Yeah.
This is scary. I don't have a specific song in mind, but whatever you choose, I know I'll be happy to hear it while driving home after my last shift. Sell your home, bro. Evan J. Wolf. you can just see that on a bench, right?
Yeah,
a bus
totally.
Bench.
With a big smiley guy in a suit.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, totally.
Well, so hopefully the last shift from law enforcement went well, and the beginnings of your realtor job are going well. How about a song about houses?
Yeah, I like it. Yeah.
This is a band called the Corner Laughers. This is from a great album that came out last year called Here Comes the Rain Again, the Second British Invasion. And it was a 2-disc set of covers of songs from the 80s. A lot of UK bands. I don't think they were all UK bands, but... As the name would imply, mm-hmm. but a really, really good double disc all cover album. Mm. The Corner Laughers contributed this song, originally done by Madness. Here is Our House.
Nothing ever slows.
things certainly do happen while Tommy's in school. Now what does Tommy see? Where's he going? Oh, here's Tommy's father, home work. And here comes Mother to say hello. Tommy likes to be with his parents. And this evening is a little special, for it's the day for Tommy to receive his allowance. Every week, Father comes home with money for Tommy and for Mother. Money Father earns by going out and working for his family.
Chicken shit money.
I'm not angry. I'm passionate. Duh.
Oh, we're back. Hello, everybody. We're back. Fulfilling our duty.
Duty schmooty.
Duty schmooty. For the listeners at home waiting for us to come back after the song and talk to them again.
Yes.
I like that song a lot. I kind of want to get that whole album now.
That whole album, that whole double disc set is great. You won't be disappointed.
Seems really good. Oh, I had a question about yesterday's Def Leppard one.
Yeah.
Did it, is that available widely? Can I get that just about anywhere?
You can. The album is Yeah! With an exclamation point. It's an all cover Def Leppard album, and it's really good.
I want it.
There's a deluxe version, an import deluxe version that's two discs, and then there's a domestic version that is one disc. But either way, it's really good.
They have a really good live version of their Vegas show last year that's out now.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe last year it came out. It's really good. I keep saying this year, last year. I guess 2014 would have been the year that happened. Hello, everyone. We're back. Let's call Wendy. Let's make that happen. Let's make it a reality. All these promises. Let's get it to fruition.
Sure.
There she is. Let's get her in here. If we can, if possible. So it's the new time. I think I reminded her of the new time. I probably would have heard a text before now. She was...
That's right. I forgot about that. This affects her in a different way than it affected the West Coast. And
hello.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
How are you? How's it going?
Good.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. An hour later. How's this for everybody?
I know. Weird, right? How's your hour later? I guess, how much later is it there? It's like 6 o'clock?
6.
Yeah.
It's kind of a pain, but it's all right.
Oh, is it? Is it a pain? I don't want it to be a pain. Is it a pain?
But you know what? Living in Sweden and working Mountain Standard Time is a pain. So
yeah,
there we are.
I guess it is. How often does Mom try to text you or Skype you all the time? Is that all the time?
No. A little bit.
Okay. Because that's usually you got to tuck in for the long haul. That's like a big long Oscar movie. It's like 3 hour conversations, right?
You know what it is? It's that it's in the morning for all y'all. So you're like, I got the whole day ahead of me. And for me, I'm like, I'm so tired.
Yeah, you're done, right? Now you got to give advice to like some stranger about some hard thing they're dealing with.
Right?
I know your pain. Listen, if you guys want to crack up a little bit, Wendy doesn't know this. Or I don't know if she realizes this exactly, but she may have missed her calling in life. She's actually, of all the Johnsons, probably one of the funniest on paper. So I recommend going and following her on Instagram, because the stuff she posts on Instagram is genuinely hilarious and really funny. So she's at Wendy Dumford on Instagram. Okay? Go check it out. It's good.
Okay.
I know you don't believe
me. I should have been a comedian. You're totally right.
It's true. You say really funny things, and I don't think people get to see that side of you as often. I mean, we say funny things on the show occasionally, but, you know, it's one of her...
Right.
You know,
when we're talking about suicide, it's hard to be funny.
That's true, right? It's a little dark subject, that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get in right into it. We got a call, or not a call, a thing here, an email from somebody who will remain anonymous. And it sounds like they're in a bit of a pickle. And Wendy being an actual therapist, that's what the segment is, folks, if you're tuning in for the first time. Wendy's a therapist. She helps people all the time with their real-world problems, and we present her with this problem here. The email goes, my question for Wendy is, after finding out your wife has been sleeping around for you or on you for 6 months, what do you do? This is her third time. We have been married for 10 years plus. We have 2 kids together. One has autism and will likely need care for the rest of his life. I tried to forgive her the second time, but this time is far worse. She says that she wants to work on it, but I'm not sure if she means it, or they are empty promises again. Sorry for the rambling. Thanks for any help you have. You didn't really ramble, dude. That was a short email.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For what you're going through, that is not rambling.
Yeah, that's some short stuff. So I knew if I had a, just as a you know, a comparative note. I had a friend who went through a very similar thing where, you know, a spouse was cheating and was asking for forgiveness, you know, multiple times, and, you know, eventually just said, no, I'm not doing this again. And I always remember feeling like, man, what's that like? Because it's easy for us on the surface to go, cheating on you, just leave him. That's the end of that.
Yeah.
But it's so much more complicated than that. It has to be. Even if there aren't kids involved, even if one of the kids who has autism isn't involved, it still can't be an easy thing. It's a person you've committed to. It's the one you want to be with. You know, presumably you meant it when you said I do, and they sort of meant it, you know. And you want to make it work because who wants to start over? Nobody. So I really feel for this dude, even not with the shortness of this email. I'm feeling the pain here a little bit. So where do you go?
You hit on what I was going to lead with, actually, which is we all project ourselves onto this guy. It's a very, if you're in a committed relationship, the first thing you do is put yourself in their shoes, and you do it very quickly, and you 9 times out of 10 come to the conclusion that you would walk away and be like, whatever, there's, you know, you can't treat me that way.
Yeah.
And there's a very similar phenomenon that happens when we hear of someone who's being abused in a relationship. We think, what the heck? You would never stay. What are you doing? Get out.
Yeah.
So there's a couple things that explain that, you know, why someone stays, which we'll talk about, but also why we do that. I think it is scary to everyone on some level. We may feel very comfortable in our committed relationship and think, I would know, and it would be so obvious because we're so close or whatever. But there's still part of you, because you know people who it really has come as a total surprise.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the flip side, we're always like, well, wouldn't you know? So we're sort of within ourselves have a confidence and a fear at the same time.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Sure.
So this is hard when this is you and you need to talk to people about it, because the first thing they do is project themselves into your shoes.
Mm.
And this is true generally, but this one is like, there is a worn path between what I would do and what I think you should do when it comes to infidelity. I mean, that's a very strong, quick jump, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I've had a cough for, I don't know, a year. So forgive me.
Dude, it's all right. It's going around. It's bad time of
year.
I keep hearing here that
totally
I keep
got it from Colorado.
I keep
do they cough differently in Sweden?
Yeah, what do they do? Lay cough?
More guttural. Yeah. They roll the R at the end.
So hold on a quick second about that real fast. I'm curious. Do they do the whole flu shot rampage every year in Sweden, or is that just a thing we do here?
Well, let me tell you a...
not to derail.
Between, but, yeah. No, I know. I'll get back. I can always retrace this back to what we're supposed to be talking about. I'm good at that. Let me tell you a funny thing that happened. This summarizes the difference between America and Sweden. So we were... our neighbor is very anti fireworks because she has dogs. And Scott, you know, with dogs that they go a little nuts with fireworks, right?
Yeah, and Daisy's the worst, yeah.
Yeah, New Year's Eve is huge here for fireworks. I mean, they are firework happy. And so she was like, when we were moving in, was like, okay, I don't care what you do, but you cannot have fireworks on New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. And we were like, yeah, we only do that on the 4th of July, so we're good, you know? Yeah. Anyway, so I was laughing and telling a friend of mine this story. And, you know, I said, so we didn't do our fireworks. Of course, we didn't even, I don't even know where you buy them. Do you go to Norway to get them? I don't know. Anyway.
Across the border.
Well, that's what we did here, right? You always go to, we'd always go to Wyoming. So it would make sense that you have to go north. Yeah.
So, anyway, and they're pretty intense, by the way. We were in town and we saw some neighborhood kids lighting some things that I've never seen in person before. They were impressive. So they must have gone to Hungary. I don't know. Anyway, so I'm telling her about, you know, these dogs, and she says, oh, my aunt had a dog, and what she would do on, you know, every New Year's Eve is she would stay in the bathroom with the dog and pet the dog and run water so it couldn't hear and just really soothe the dog. And I said, oh, my mom would give our dog Xanax. And she goes, oh, that's the difference between America and Sweden.
I guess there. So. Yeah. Done. Wow.
Yeah. We drug our problems away and they do the natural route, which takes all night and ruins your evening.
Sure.
Because it's the duty they feel. No, they're very, it's very natural. Generally, they don't vaccinate things unless it's sort of necessary, but they do believe in them. And then once it's scientifically proven and necessary, you're the worst person in the world if you don't do it. So there's a little bit of that, like it goes both ways, but they don't, I mean, they use anti, what's it called? Yeah, Not antidepressants. Dang it. What's the word? Antibiotics.
Antibiotics.
Anxiety?
Antibiotics.
No, antibiotics. Like, so an average American child will have, you know, 8 to 12 series of antibiotics in their childhood. And the average Swedish child will have 2 to 4. So, I mean, significantly less.
Is that true here? That's the averages here?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. It's high.
It's
yeah.
When did that get so... That changed, because I think I maybe had them once my entire childhood.
Like, yeah, I think it's newer. Like, I think we've decided medicine should be quick and fast, and I want to be cured now. And so whether the doctors feel more pressure to just give them, even though it's probably a virus that it won't even do anything for.
Yeah.
But then we create super bugs, which is awesome. So anyway, they're very... Oh, it's so interesting because it's so embedded culturally. Like, here's a perfect example. When and this happened with multiple people, because, you know, every Christmas someone has to get the pukes, right?
Yeah, every time.
Our family just had a cough, so we avoided the pukes. But they they have this unwritten rule, and it is so socially implemented that it might as well be a law and you'd go to jail for life. Mm-hmm. And that is, you do not leave your home until it's 48 hours past the last time you threw up. So if you threw up at noon, you have to wait 48 hours and you can leave your house at noon to then be out in public. And they are dead serious. Like,
wow.
It's really interesting. So like, but then, so here's this thing. I'm supposed to meet a friend at the gym. Her kid throws up New Year's Eve at 12:01, by the way, which was awesome. And then she waits 46 hours, or it's close to the 48-hour mark or whatever, and we're supposed to go to the gym that night, and she waits for 2 straight days. I'm like, come on, you're the mom. You'll be fine. It's not like you're going to smear your germs everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And another kid throws up, and then the whole family gets it. So it proved her point, which is like, you know, gestation of whatever these bugs are sometimes is that one. Yeah. But you think about Americans, and I was laughing, like, I'll go to the gym and cough all over the equipment because – you're all used to sick people coming out in public.
Yeah.
But not here.
They're not really, there. Wow. I like their, I like the way they're thinking. It's funny because we were just talking about this before we called you about how I can't stand it when somebody will bring, they know their kid is in the throes of some terrible awfulness and they bring them anyway to the party or to the thing or to the whatever, the family get together.
Yeah.
And you're just like, why did you bring the kid? If it meant you all had to stay home, that would have been better than if you brought the, you
right.
know, this, right. this diseased child. And, that it sounds like they've got that figured out over there culturally. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. But and there is some serious like public shaming and staring you down if you did otherwise. So, I mean, you got to have that part.
Yeah.
So we got to protect
letter.
That. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Your kid was sick. Okay. And then everyone knows you like it's like they're quarantined.
Yeah.
When the 48 hours is up, they say, okay, you know, 48 hours is up. Like it's a real thing.
Weird.
And the school will freak out. If you even dare send a sick kid, like they're really, it's funny, but
weird.
It's the healthiest we've been for years. So this is good.
Yeah. You're like, you're like plague carrier or whatever right now. You must be.
Yeah. Here. We're like, hey, we're Americans. So we just go to work when we're sick. Right?
Yeah.
Like,
we just...
Yeah. No, you stay home. Anyway.
Well, anyway. So, all right. So to bring
right,
it
back to
dude. Yeah.
Cause you know, medicine infidelity is so close. Okay. Yeah. So go back to this idea that we tend to, project ourselves into someone's shoes, right? So then how do we really, and this guy's probably like, you're not solving my problem, but I want everyone else listening to think about how they react in these situations, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if we project ourselves into that situation, we're going to make it about us a little bit. Mm-hmm. And what we don't have is what it feels like. Like you said, I wonder what this feels like. We don't have that. We also don't know what it's been like in that relationship. We don't know the tango that those two people are in. And we also project our own morality on the situation, right? Because he doesn't say much about, obviously he's not a swinger, right?
Yeah.
He has not laid that out as this was optional. So
right.
Obviously they were, it was not optional. And so we take all of that to the table and then we tell this person, well, you're an idiot. So he may be well prepared for me to say, you idiot, get out of this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's probably what he's expecting because that's what he's saying to himself. That's what most people would say to him.
Mm-hmm.
So and for those
it being
who
the third
are
time,
interacting
it,
with someone,
the third time is probably the time where you start saying that too, right? I mean,
kind of the charm, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm sure we don't know all the answers or all the facts or what's happening. So I would first want to know a couple things. What, you know, the first time this happened, what was that about? did you learn anything from that? Or did we just, were we just happy it was over and she wanted to work on it and sweep it under the rug? I'm guessing that happened because we're now at the third time, right? Mm-hmm. The first time it wasn't really dealt with, in maybe from her end as well, right? And what's that about? Is she, would she really rather not be in a monogamous relationship, or is this something else going on that she continues to seek out other relationships?
Right.
So those would be important things to find out. And for him, you then have to ask the question, why are you staying? So I'm going to apply this to an abusive relationship a little bit. I don't think they're the same thing. Don't get me wrong, but there's some, Stockholm syndrome kind of thing potentially happening, which is awesome that I could drive to Stockholm in 4 hours.
I agree.
But okay. So you have this, like, we go through all this together after the first infidelity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe got really close and maybe it was really good. It also could be the opposite where we just ignore it. And that means nothing really changed, but let's say it's the other. That they got really close, they worked on it, and, you know, he really saw her making an effort, and he was making an effort, and they were doing good. So you're even more bonded, committed to this woman. So when she does it again, you know, that's even more devastating. And it's even harder to let go if that is, in the end, what you decide to do. So you kind of super bond over the trauma of it a little bit. I know Stockholm Syndrome's a little different than that, but there's a little bit of that, like...
Sure.
Why don't you leave someone who is threatening you harm to you? So someone who can't stay committed to you when that's the kind of relationship you want is harmful to you. So why do you stay? Well, you stay because you're bonding maybe in connection to the infidelity. Maybe you just feel like crap, right? I worked with a couple where she was the sex addict and she would take off to Vegas and pole dance and act in porn movies while he was the fat stay-at-home dad.
Wow.
And just kind of a interesting reversal of what you would kind of assume would be happening, right? And he just let himself go and was not interested in sex at all because she was just objectifying him, right? Uh-huh. And comparing him to everyone else and, you know, all that jazz. And it was so interesting. He couldn't leave her because, again, some of that dynamic of, you know, I put up with this. We have 4 or 5 kids together. I mean, they had a lot of kids. And just the craziness of all of it sort of super glued them a little bit. And so, and you feel like crap, right? So the guy felt like crap. So was he thinking, oh, yeah, I should really go move on with my life because, you know, I'm doing really well. It's hard to feel confident to move on in that situation.
Sure.
So that's the other questions I would ask him. You know, how is he feeling personally? Is he in the worst shape of his life? Probably. Is he depressed or miserable at his job? Are there other things going on that make you think, well, this is the best I can get, or this is the way my life is? You know, so what is that dynamic for him? If he is confident, feeling successful, doing really well in his life, and he sticks with her after 3 cheats, I don't know what that's about because I've never met that person.
Yeah,
like, they tend not to be happening.
Yeah, that
partly because it takes its toll to be in a relationship that is not strong and fulfilling.
Right. That seems totally counterintuitive to me that they, I mean, maybe he's just in a place where, like, with the kids, because I always think that a lot of this is about kids, right? You want your kids to have a cohesive family unit. Your people are afraid of what divorce might do to that, even though in some cases it's better, but they don't think of it that way. And,
right.
And they may at this point go, he may be thinking, well, I can't, there can't not be the whole family if I'm to figure this out, especially with one of my kids with some form of severe autism. How am I going to get to the other end of this tunnel if it's just me? Because the way he'll look, he may even be looking at this like, you know, if she goes away, she's truly going to go away. Like, she's not going to be good at any of this because she's, you know, she already can't do it. Like, I don't know. It's a kind of a weird thing, right? Because on the one hand, that seems like the perfect person to leave. But on the other hand, leaving means leaving, maybe, like really leaving. You know?
Which would lead, that's very insightful, Scott. You may have missed your calling as a...
I should have been the therapist. You should have been the podcaster psycho person.
Right. Wow. Exactly. Because really, that would be an important path for him to go down, which is, where does this start for him, right? Your fear of abandonment, maybe? Like, have you been left before? Was it mom, dad? Was it best friend moved? What, you know, is there any kind of sort of psychic scarring that happened earlier in life that has you kind of paralyzed when it comes to loss or someone leaving? And because you have to say to yourself, what are all the things that keep someone with someone else who continues to harm them?
Yeah.
You know, he said in the email, like, she seems like she really wants to, she said she wants to work on it, and she, it seems sincere or whatever. I get that gist that, you know, she's probably believable. And it may be legit for her. She may obviously has her own stuff going on and needs her own help, but she may legitimately feel remorse and not want to do it again. She may not just be jerking him around. She may genuinely just have a problem and not know how to stop doing this. Mm, right.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw out my, you know, tried and true trope that's annoying to most people, but I'm guessing she's on social media and she's finding friends that way. And she's finding discontent to some extent. And, you know, maybe that's a fuel. Maybe it's not the cause, but I'm sure the listener or, you know, the emailer is now going, oh yeah, that's actually true. She's on Facebook 99% of the day or something. There's probably a very strong connection with sort of seeking out dopamine in lots of other places besides home. And yeah, you usually do that by the internet. So, you know, there may just be a whole lot going on for her, but he's the client, right? He's the one saying, okay, what am I supposed to be doing here? And if he thinks that email was rambling, he really needs to go to therapy and learn about rambling. Right. Is that not rambling?
That was not rambling at all.
But maybe he needs to, right? Like maybe he needs to actually process all of this. It sounds like, well, he hasn't listened to the show much because he knows I needed 20 more questions answered. and one being like, you know, have you gotten help before? Have you guys done counseling after infidelity? So let me just say one thing about that, because people who are cheating right now might need this information.
Not that we're assuming any of you are out there cheating. Not that we're saying that. All right.
Right. But there's got to be, I think the sort of one statistic is 12% of men, 7% of women.
Wow.
So.
All right.
I don't know about the Frog Pants Network. It's probably zero. You're right. But anyway, so the thing about therapy is do not, please, just please, for my sake, do not go while you're actively cheating. Like, come on. Mm. We're not dumb. Well, some of us are. But it is so counterproductive and frustrating and a waste of your time and money. If one of you is cheating, don't go. Because any therapist worth their salt will figure it out eventually and then be like, okay, we got to stop because this doesn't work. It only works when it's the three of us in this room, not the third party on the outside. It just, it doesn't work.
So so when that happens, though, I mean, I'm trying to think of a scenario when you'd go, I guess you'd be going in because of some previous infractions and you're just not telling anyone that there's also a current infraction.
Or you're just not ending that other relationship and you're lying to everybody else about it. Okay,
yes. See, Brian knows.
Yeah, he knows. He's got this. He's done this before.
Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Geez.
I know exactly how it works. Well, and really often it's that the one spouse is dragging the other one in because there's a disconnect. Something's wrong. They're not happy. Things are going, you know, south. And so they're going to get help. And this person is being very secretive and, you know, of course they're thinking they can get away with it. And there's going to be therapists and, you know, most therapists may not go, I think you're cheating, but they're going to go, you're not as into this as you need to be for this to work.
Sure.
And often that's, you know, the reason why. So infidelity, I mean, I think often people think, oh, well, you're never getting over that. And actually people do quite well if, they get, first of all, the other person out of their lives, and they work on it in therapy and, you know, they can do well and recover and sort of move past it. He's got something else going on there. Yeah. And that's not everyone, but at least there's sort of an open discussion and honesty that eventually will come. If you're going to therapy saying, hey, our problem is infidelity, that happened, we want to change it, we want a better relationship, you're going to have a better shot than, you know, the sweep it under the rug types. Those ones typically don't do well because the reason it ever occurred is not being addressed.
Yeah.
So it could be a myriad of reasons why this has occurred. It could be, you know, it's interesting how often someone who is a child of a chronic cheater finds themselves wanting to cheat and says, what? I never thought I would be that person. I hated that about my dad or my mom, you know, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And they find that that dynamic feels very, maybe they married someone just like that, or they find themselves in that situation. When that happens, these roots are kind of old and you really need to have someone help you with that. And it could just be fluke, right? You could just go to the office and there's a cute girl flirting with you and you just get carried away because you're, you know, you're bored of watching Downton Abbey. Am I way behind? I don't know what show people are watching.
It's still popular. That's still popular.
Yeah, okay. People are, they're in the middle of their fifth season. They're enjoying themselves. Yeah.
P.S. I can only get season one here. Not that I was looking for season four. I haven't seen season four.
Wow.
And I started season, the first episode of, with Swedish subtitles because I'm trying to learn Swedish better.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm trying to find interesting things to watch. And I just thought, oh, I'll try.
The weird thing is you're the closest to the epicenter of the Downton Abbey versus us,
yeah,
right?
I know.
A little bit closer. But does it all sound like, so it's subtitled, it's not dubbed, right?
No, it's subtitled. Okay. But I'll tell you, it is a stupid way to try to learn another language because they talk ridiculous English. And then it's translated into ridiculous Swedish.
Yeah, I just wondered. I was hoping dubbed because it'd be like, why do the people downstairs get treated different than the ones upstairs? Yeah, like that.
That's exactly how it sounds. But what I was going to say is Pete wouldn't go to sleep, so I had him watch it with me. And yeah, that kid was asleep in like 1 minute.
Oh, yeah.
Bored him to death.
Downton Abbey, not, yeah, great sleep aid for the under five,
3-year-old. Anyway, but the idea is like maybe you just got nothing going on in your relationship and it's sort of humdrum and whatever. I mean, there's definitely that. And it happens to the best of people if they're not careful and they, you know, they're not working on their relationship.
Is it relevant? And would you ask the question, is she cheating with the same person 3 times? Was that?
Oh, absolutely.
No, that would
matter.
If
it's the same person, then okay. You know, that's where I'm going to say what everyone else is going to say to you. Like, dude, you really got to figure this out. Cause that's, if it's 3 different people, that's a different psychological situation generally.
Yeah.
The same person, they're in love with that person. And they're maybe not so in love with you.
Yeah.
So you need to figure out how you want to live your life a little bit with that. If it's 3 different people, then, you know, you got a chronic
cheater.
Chronic cheater or just such a discontent partner in the relationship that, you know. And maybe, I'm just saying, emailer, I know you're probably a nice guy, but maybe you're really hard to be in a relationship with. And maybe your communication is pretty sucky together. And she can't tell you what she needs and wants. Not to blame the victim, but, you know, it takes two to tango
right,
a little bit.
And therefore, the need for therapy, joint therapy, all the more important here to at least suss that out and decide whether or not he plays a role in the way he communicates. I mean, it could just be crappy juxtaposition between the way she does and he does. And that results in this mess or making aggravating it. So getting them all together with a professional seems like a smart
If she says, I don't want to do therapy, we're going to work really hard together and I promise I won't do it again. That needs to be like the red flag siren going off. Like if this is something thinks she can do on her own after the 3rd time and she's sweet talking, then this will happen again for sure.
Yeah.
If it's not even continuing, you know, at the moment, that's why. That fresh pair of professional eyes to say, yeah, this isn't quite happening. It might be that she's still not done cheating, right? Or maybe not even actively cheating, but there's, you know, varying degrees of cheating from decision to behavior, right? Or inclination. I'd be wary if she's not willing to get real help for the two of you. If you want to go that route.
What I've really learned here today is that Wendy should start a separate practice called Fresh Pair of Professional Eyes. That should be the name of it.
In about an hour,
yeah,
right?
In about an hour. Perfect, exactly. Put it in the mall next to the
Orange Julius. And my logo is like eyeballs.
Exactly. I love that idea. Googly eyes. All right. Googly. Usually before we let you go, you have some sort of like weird Swedish thing to do. Do you have that today?
Yeah, I'm totally running out, but I have one left, right?
Okay. Oh, really?
And I think I might have already used it.
Well, hold on,
anyway.
Let me see if I've got here's your new theme for that. Here you go.
This time we will enter Swedish.
There you go. Go.
Nice. Okay, so the word you use for your ID, like if you're gonna go buy alcohol or cigarettes or whatever, or get into a club,
yeah,
is leg. Like your leg, L-E-G, leg.
Leg, got it.
And that's supposed to be funny. This is how dry the barrel has become. That's it. I like that.
So wait. So this is how you get into a club, like?
Yeah. Okay. Don't forget to bring your leg. They will say to each other all the time.
Don't forget to bring your leg.
It costs you an arm and a leg to get into that club.
They can speak English and say what I just said. Make sure you bring your leg to get into the club. But they use it in Swedish and English.
I thought I didn't realize it was quite that literal. They were literally saying, "Bring your leg to so you can get into the club."
Yeah, because it's the word for ID, and they're saying, but it doesn't matter which language they're choosing to say it in. It's always leg.
Oh,
and,
weird.
Yeah.
So are you compelled? Not that you go get cigarettes or alcohol or go to the clubs very much, but do you find yourself using the phraseology when you're in the right situation or what?
Not quite yet, but I did. Adam, what happened? He had to interact with someone and they're like, "Do you have a passport?" And he did, which he's so weird like that. I would never carry my passport around.
Yeah. You'd be in some Swedish gulag right now or something, or jail.
I know. I'd be like, "Oh, I'm just a dumb American. I'm so sorry." And I can totally get away with that. But he probably gets like, he's the one who always gets checked at an airport, you know? Yeah. So I think he's just a little more sensitive to.
Sure.
I don't know. Anyway, so he always has his leg with him, and I do not.
You don't carry your leg around?
Yeah.
Wonderful. There you go, everybody. That's your Swedish moment.
Nice.
Doesn't sound like we got too many more, but we'll keep that handy if it comes up. Wendy, always fun, always a pleasure.
This is a good one.
And I know we never really have a thing to send people to at the end of this thing, but I really do think people should follow her on Instagram. Yeah. It's great. Wendy Dunford. It's funny as hell.
Yeah, follow me on Instagram. So funny.
It's a hoot. It's like, I don't know what it is. There's something about your just your dry take on things. Even your like follow her comments on other people's photos because they're equally funny. Like I posted that stupid cover of that 17 magazine where it said,
"Oh, Insta,
yeah, freaking yeah. Insta." And Wendy, in her therapy way, here I'm gonna pull it up. Hold on,
extra life. Okay, you want to hear the funny thing about this?
What's that?
Is I genuinely thought that's what it said, like how to crush your confidence.
No, you did really. Oh,
yes.
That's so funny. Because this thing says,
"I'm an old lady and I don't use the word crush in it."
Well, the first part of the article said, "Build your confidence, crush it at school, on Insta, and with guys." So annoying. Just the Insta part made me want to tear somebody's eyes out. Yeah. And Wendy says, "Those are, in fact, the three places to get your confidence crushed, you whippersnapper, you." And then you put a hashtag that's nailed it hot pink poster circa 2011.
P.S. I just listened to this whole podcast about the hashtag.
Oh yeah.
What the?
Yeah.
So interesting.
What was that? That song. What show was that?
99% Invisible.
Yeah. The Black Roman Marsdale. That's a. That's a really
and
good
I
thing.
And I love that some dude at Twitter, like, took 15 minutes, changed some code without talking to anyone, getting no permission, and now it's like the thing. How they measure, you know, like keep track of all this crap. I just love them.
And it's everywhere. It's not even just Twitter anymore. It's hashtags are just everywhere. And it's become the shorthand for finding things, tagging things, being dumb and using it wrong things. Like it's super weird. A super
and
cool show.
And I like that I can do like a full on sentence, like nailed it hot pink poster.
That's too good. All right. Well, our best obviously to the family and everyone involved. May Sweden continue to provide hilarious stories for all of us to share.
Yes.
Wendy,
okay.
Have a good
Take
one.
Care.
See you later.
You too.
Bye. I think she likes our calls because they're not 4.5 hours like my mom's Skype calls. They can go forever. That's it. We're done. Do we know if Cleo's in the chat? I don't know if she's here.
I've not seen her all week. Yeah. I've seen her on Twitter. I've seen her in the Tadpole chat, but, I've not seen her all week. So
I'm checking here. I don't see her either. That's what those beeps were, everybody.
Yep.
Has anyone been keeping track for her? Maybe not. No.
Is there a point proxy?
Yeah, we got a point proxy. I like that.
Point proxy.
A proxy for points. Well, I don't see anybody. That's okay. We'll grab her next week. That's all right. Then we'll just end today's show, which we can do now. Hey, listen to this. If you want to leave a message for the show, we play one at the top of the show. You can 801-471-0462. You can email us. Attachments and emails are all accepted there. themorningstream@gmail.com. We're on the website at frogpants.com/TMS. Links to all of this stuff and more are there, whatever. We're on Twitter, Morning Stream, Scott Johnson, Coverville. And tonight, a new episode of TMS PM. It's an hour-long extension of the week because you guys helped us get there on Patreon at patreon.com/TMS. Contribute. And we might just have some more cool things to unlock. So be here tonight at 4:30 p.m. Mountain Time.
That's right. That time has not changed.
No, it'll be live then.
We're working on making TMS AM later and TMS PM earlier to the point where they just merge into one super show.
Just roll right into each other.
just kidding, folks. That's not the plan.
That is not the plan at all. But be here at 4:30. We'll have a quick hour at the end of the day today. And if you don't
come. It's called pod fusing.
Exactly. If you don't come, coin that. And then Monday you'll be famous for it. You probably won't hear it at home until tomorrow because I usually do that the next morning is when I post it on the thing as to not overflood the feed during the same day. But if you're here live today, 4:30 p.m. Mountain, and I think that's it. There's a new instance tomorrow, should be. There's that episode of Current Geek I keep pimping and probably a few other surprises over the weekend.
I still have to listen to your Current Geek wrap-up from last week.
Yeah, I think you'd like it. It was just Tom and I. It was just kind of a nice, quiet... What's the word? Intimate moment with Tom.
Well, that's when, you know, that those guests, man, they're just irritating. Hate them all.
You got to get rid of them. Nice especially those ones we've had on a few times. They're the freaking worst.
Oh, God, they just go on and on about how many times have I been on versus this other person.
I know, right? It's a competition and all this stuff. But hey, in other news, Roger Chang will be on tomorrow. So
how many times has he been on?
This will be his third, I believe. So that'll be good.
Uh-oh.
I know, he's creeping up your butt. Roger, that's right. You heard it here. Roger Chang creeping up Brian's butt.
Nice.
All right, Brian, you have some music to go out on today?
I do.
Oh, good.
It's going out to Samantha. It says, good morning, Brian. I have what may be considered an unusual request for you. In fact, it is more of a challenge than a request. I've only been listening to the morning stream for a few months, but I've come to genuinely enjoy the show as well as the music. I have noticed, though, somewhat sadly, that you are not a fan of country music. While I respect our differences and opinions, I thought I'd try to issue this challenge and to see what you come up with. For my request, I challenge you to select a non-country cover that you like that is of a country song you do not like. My only caveat is that it not be by Taylor Swift or of a Taylor Swift song, as I do not consider her to be a country artist, even though I do respect her talent and voice. Mm. I love the show, and I'm truly curious as to what you will choose. Thanks, Samantha.
All right.
Great email. Love that.
Yep.
And it is no secret that I'm not a fan of new country. Now, when you're talking like Willie Nelson, Kenny Rogers, Dolly Parton, Hank Williams, for the most part, I really like all of those artists. I like their library. Here's the funny thing. Today's song is actually going to be a cover of a Hank Williams song that I don't like. But it's by an artist, and it's a cover that I really, really like.
Weird.
So take that.
All right. I'll take it.
This is a cover that came out on an album called Hanky Panky back in 1995. Now, one of my favorite artists. If you look at my top 10 favorite artists of all time, you'll find Squeeze, you'll find Crowded House, you'll find The Beautiful South. You'll also find The, which was basically a project by Matt Johnson. Almost a solo project, but he brought in people like Johnny Marr, who's on several albums, and all these other artists who are part of it. Love The, and I'm sure that in this day and age, if he would have had the chance to name his band something different, because it doesn't come up on search engines and it's really hard to find anything else going on with the band, then he probably would have picked something different. In 1995, he released an all Hank Williams cover album. Now, this is Hank Williams, not Hank Williams Jr., not Hank Williams III, or Hank Williams IV, any of those other. This is the original, 1.0 Hank Williams.
All right.
Senior.
All right.
The one that had all the trouble with the law.
The old man.
Right. And he's
the one that took the job and shoved it, right?
He's not the one who took the job and shoved it. He's the one who had a tear in his beer, though.
Oh. Oh, he teared in the beer. His son took the job and shoved it. And That's asked right. me if I was ready for some football. All right, I got it.
That's right. Yes, right. Exactly. On that album is a cover of a song called My Heart Would Know. Now, some people might know this from the Cars soundtrack, the Disney Pixar Cars soundtrack. Not a fan of the original version. It's a little too twangy for me, and I'm not sure why I like other Hank Williams songs, but don't like that one. The, though, knocks it right out of the park. I love this version. Right. So... The from the album Hanky Panky from 1995 and a cover of My Heart Would Know.
All right. It's the 90s, everybody. Welcome back. We'll see you guys tonight at 4:30. See ya.
glad to see you go. I could hate you for the way I'm feeling. My lips could tell a lie that my heart would know. It's a sin to make me cry.
Pass it on to the troopers.